Now back to Kenny and JT, powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
Welcome back to the Kenny and JT Show here on Newstalk 1480 WHBC. We got you all the way through until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it's Buckeye Basketball Roundtable at 6, followed by Cavaliers Basketball at 8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock tip-off against the Houston Rockets. That's your college and professional basketball. Right now, let's talk some high school basketball, find out what happened over the weekend, boys and girls-wise, with tournament action. Dan Belford, Denny Kincaid, good, calling the action for the boys' side. John Bazika, Bob Jeffries doing the honors with the girls' side. And John, let's start with the girls' side. Over the weekend, what went down and who is left standing in Stark County as far as the girls go for high school basketball?
Yeah, at this point, just two teams remaining on the girls' side of the bracket, and that is McKinley and Glen Oak. And we kind of had a feeling that this is where it would be at this point. We thought that McKinley had a nice chance against Stowe, who they defeated last Friday, 48-39. Coach Brian Bowden, in his second year as the head coach, really has things rolling for McKinley this year. They've won 10 now in a row, dating back to a point to where they were 6-6. They're now 16-6 and playing in the Sweet 16. And then as for Glen Oak, they win their third straight district title, seventh in school history after defeating Green on Friday, 60-53. Nice effort by Breezy Williams. Their junior point guard was absolutely stupendous on Friday night with 24 points and pretty much controlled the game in so many ways, guys.
John, what is it about these two programs that year in, year out, they just seem to get it done?
Yeah, I think the big thing with McKinley is that they always seem to have a couple of girls that can just really play a little bit of every position. Nakia Terrell, just named Federal League Player of the Year today, actually, is just a really special player. She's going to High Point at the next level. She's as good as they come when it comes to point guards in the county. And I'd say the biggest thing that she added to her game in the offseason is she added a three-point shot. Last year, that was really inconsistent. This year, she can go out to the three-point line and hit that with some regularity. And then they also have Kyla Foster, another senior, who's pretty much become a double-double machine for them with 16 points and 16 boards in their win against Stowe on Friday. Plus, as you know, JT and Kenny, I know, as you know, too, I mean, McKinley, they just have such great tradition, you know, in all sports. And I know that Coach Bowden oftentimes talks to his former high school coach, Dave Cady, about practice patterns and about how to get things down. And because of that, I think that's paid dividends for him this second year. I think he's really started to find a rhythm as a head coach.
Well, you know what? After the Davis era there, McKinley basketball, for Bowden to take up the reins and just keep going with it, are there any big changes from what you've seen in their style of play?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest thing is even though they used to play a high-pressure defense before, I would say that it's sometimes even more suffocating now. They really get in your face, and they really want to play an open game. Not that Pam didn't do that, but Pam, for the last 4 years that she was there, had Kirsten Bell. And to be quite honest with you, I don't care what coach you are, even if one of us was coach of that team, you're going to give the ball to Kirsten Bell on every possession down the floor. She's three-time reigning Miss Basketball, over, you know, 2,500 career points or whatever it was by the time she was done, one of the greatest basketball players girls basketball has ever seen in this state. You're going to get her the ball. Now that you have more of a team with Terrell and Foster and Paris Stokes, and you throw in Sydney Bowden and Natasia Davis, I mean, you've got girls that can all play and all step up, and that's a big difference than the team that before was just, you know, Kirsten Bell and a bunch of role players. Now it's two stars in Terrell and Foster and a bunch of nice role players to go with it.
John, when you look at these teams, and more specifically, I want to get to Glen Oak, because last year I remember us talking to Coach Wackerly after they pulled the plug on the season, right? And it was devastating for the girls. They didn't get to advance and everything like that and find out if they could win a state championship last year. How does this year's team from Glen Oak compare to what they had last year that might have won the whole thing?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest difference between this year and last year is that last year's team was a little bit more three-point oriented. They could really get the ball out to the perimeter and hit a lot of three-point shots. They had Glen Oak's top three-point shooter in career makes in just about every category, and Lexi Lemire on that team. And she was just such an asset for them on the outside. And You also throw in Mackenzie Green, who is kind of like a power forward, but could also go out to the perimeter and hit shots. I think the biggest difference this year is they get Nekiah Terrell back. And or not Nekiah Terrell, I mean Anaya Hall. I'm looking at different notes in front of me here. You get back Anaya Hall, who's kind of their power forward now this year, and she was a Division I commit before her ACL tear last year, but has really been kind of working back to full strength this year. She kind of adds an element to them that they haven't had before. She reminds me of like a Tristan Thompson type of player that she's simply just going to go out and hustle like crazy for you for 32 minutes if you are able to keep her on the floor that long. And I think she just adds that athleticism that maybe they didn't have last year. I would say this about this year's team. I think the starting lineup is actually ahead of where the starting lineup was last year. I think the biggest difference is the two girls that have been inserted into the lineup in Mia Metz and Lexi Kleptach from last year were your bench players last year. Now they're in your starting five this year. So you're still looking for that bench if you're Glen Oak.
All right. So, again, those games are happening tomorrow, and we'll know by the end of tomorrow night if we're going to get that McKinley Glen Oak matchup for the regional championship, correct?
Yeah, and I think there's a chance. I mean, I really think there's a really good chance that that could happen. I think, you know, Glen Oak is in a favorable position against Medina. I don't know that Medina has seen a Breezy Williams level guard all year. Breezy is, as Coach Karen Case told me, one of the quickest guards, if not the quickest guard, they will see all year at Medina. And then in the case of Hoban against McKinley, it's Pam Davis at Hoban against her old squad in McKinley. So, you know, I mean, if you mean to tell me that Nekiah Terrell and Kyla Foster don't have some, you know, added emotion into wanting to play that game, I don't know what will get you fired up. So I'm sure they're going to be thinking about that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know Karen Case very well, the head coach at Medina. This is their she won her second district championship in the last 3 years. It's going to be a tough battle for them against that Glen Oak team. They're going to have to play, I think, a perfect game in order to beat them. But it should be an interesting one. And I believe we might be able to. I watched Medina boys play Michael Rega, my old radio partner, his son Cal Rega. I played for Westlake, okay? And Westlake was playing Medina this past weekend. So I stayed home. I watched that on Facebook Live. They broadcast their games that are at home on Facebook Live. So I'll be able to maybe pull that one up with the girls, Medina girls, playing host to Glen Oak then. What time is that one on Friday night? Is that the late game?
Tomorrow night. That's 8
p.m. I'm sorry, tomorrow night?
Yeah, 8 p.m. tomorrow night. It'll be here on WHBC. You'll be able to listen to it. And then the other game between Hoban and McKinley will be on at 5:30. That'll be on the stream tomorrow night at WHBCSports.com.
And I'll pass this along to all the Glen Oak fans out there, John, that if they're not listening to you calling the action tomorrow night, here's what you do. You go to Facebook.com and type in Medina TV. And I believe that will allow you then to watch that game if they are broadcasting it. I was told they probably will. So if you want to watch that game, and what you can do is you can, ask smart devices to bring up WHBC and then put that up on your Facebook and match up John Bazika and what you're seeing on the screen. You'll be able to listen to John and watch the Glen Oak girls take on the Medina Lady Bees. Should be a good matchup tomorrow night. All right, that's the girls' side, John. What happened over the weekend with the boys' side? Who's left for the boys in our Stark County area with the tournament?
Yeah, as we had kind of mentioned earlier in the show, a number of teams still left on the boys' side as they are only into the district portion of the tournament. So you have McKinley, Hoover, Green, Jackson, and Maslin in Division One, and then Louisville and Canton South in D2. We'll start with the first D2 teams, or the first two D2 teams here first. As Canton South moves in, this is actually the first time for Canton South in a district since 2007. So it's been some years for what was normally a great program under Red Ash for all of those years here in Stark County. But they have a number of talented kids. Shamar Blackman, their kind of star of sorts, has been playing really, really good basketball recently. And you throw in some of the bench pieces. And I'll say this, Coach Luke Conley, as far as it goes for young coaches in the county, I would say he's right towards the top of being one of the better coaches. The only unfortunate thing now is they go to the number one seed, Struthers, on Thursday. As for Louisville, it's really no surprise that Louisville always gets here. They play a really tough schedule every year. Being an independent, they're not afraid to play your Maslins, your McKinleys, your Greens, whoever it may be. They'll welcome them into the gym. And Coach Tom Siegfried seems to do a really good job every year. And they have a Louisville name that's kind of leading them right now, Will Aljancic. His dad, I believe it would have been John Aljancic, was a star wide receiver back in the 90s for Louisville. So good bloodlines there leading them. And they've had some other nice pieces coming up, too, with Hayden Nigro and Brock Pickens. And they play Poland Seminary, the 2 seed, on Thursday. We'll have that game on 1480 WHBC with Dan and Denny.
All right, very good. Now, what about the D1 schools that are still left standing, and who do you think has a chance to advance?
Yeah, you have McKinley, who's left standing at this point. There's no surprise that McKinley is there. I think we've all kind of felt all year that McKinley is probably the best team, all divisions probably within the county this year. They just seem to really have all the pieces. With Brent Walker and Kobe Johnson going to work, they're starting to really put things together. They defeated Cuyahoga Falls over the weekend. They actually led 40-6 at one point in that game, guys, so that was never even close. Jackson beat Warren Harding. This isn't your normal Jackson team. You know, you don't have, like, the bigs of, like, Young and Logan Hill and Jarrett Pallotta and some of those guys of the past, your Kyle Nicholases of the past, but they have a bunch of guys that seem to fit well together. Kevin James, Michael Skiriotis, Ben Sullivan, and Coach DeBevic. You know, how many coaches do you know that have been an assistant on a team that won a state title and then won as a head coach, winning a state title in the past 10 years? Not many coaches that can say that, past 11 years, I should say now. Hoover picked up a nice win over the weekend. They defeated Boardman. Cade Henney's been one of the more consistent players within the Federal League all year, definitely working his way towards all-county honors there with what he's done. Green picks up a win over University School. Trey Martin, that Martin name in Green, seems to be kind of a standby. His brother Caleb is off playing college ball up at Walsh, and Trey is still tearing it up on the high school floor. And then Maslin picks up a win as well. I know that they've been playing without the likes of Jaden Ballard and Andrew Wilson-Lamp, who are already getting prepared for college, but Grant Hanum has really come in big for them, and Caden Willard continues to play good ball for them as well, as he's kind of their big man for Coach Hose this year.
John, when I was a kid, there used to be a thing called the Bupp Rearick War right here around town, and they don't have that obviously any longer, but I mean, if you were going to pick someone or look at anyone, whether they're still playing or not, I guess we'll call it an MVP award. Is it Kobe Johnson and everyone else, or who else could be in that running?
You know, it's funny that you bring this up, JT, because I think Kobe Johnson would definitely be the leader for it, because he's obviously part of the team that a lot of people feel could win a, you know, regional title this year, at least a district title. But I would honestly have to say the other kid that would be in that discussion is Quinton Tolles from Perry.
Okay.
He was outstanding this past year. I mean, he averaged like 25 points a game.
Wow.
He was always scoring for them. There were so many games where it would be like their stat line would be three guys scoring 9 points and Tolles scoring 43. So, you know, I mean, it was clearly just him and everybody else. And, you know, to me, that stands out. Even though Perry had a rough year, they lost over the weekend to Walsh Jesuit. You still have to highlight a kid who had a great year like that. That doesn't come around very often. And if he had had some of the pieces of the past to go with him at Perry, that team could have been really dangerous. But they just didn't have, you know, they didn't have 2 through 5 to fill out with the number one.
Yeah. Who was it that he put up 41 against recently, John? Was it McKinley or Jackson?
I want to say it was Hoover that he actually put 41 on.
Or that's it, because Coach Bluey was talking about that. That's right. That's what it was. So, so he definitely would be in the running, too. And Kobe he's such a complete all-around player. Kobe Johnson, if he wanted to, John, could average 30 points a game if he wanted to.
He could, but again, it's a sign to how Coach Vlahovic has done with the program there and how he's trying to get them to spread the ball around. I know that, you know, the reason why McKinley's teams won state titles in 05, or it was 04 and 05, whatever the 2 years were, you know, 15, 20 years ago that they won, when Dave Hoover and they had Raymar Morgan and all those guys, is that they had a number of guys that contributed. They had Raymar Morgan, Marcus Parker, Todd Brown, Ricky Jackson. You know, you want a team to win a state title, you have to look at it. They have a great starting five, and everyone contributes, and that's the way McKinley needs to be. It doesn't need to just be Walker and Johnson. It needs to be Walker, Johnson, Paree. Everybody on the roster needs to contribute in order for them to go where McKinley has been so many times before.
Yeah, and you mentioned that as good as that Jackson team was, it was a team. I mean, think about it. Logan Hill's playing Division III basketball at Mount Union after starting out at Toledo, right? You've got Kyle Young, who's starting for The Ohio State as a senior now. Jared Pallotta's a Division I athlete at UMass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Dylan Dingler just got drafted by the Tigers in baseball, and Kyle Nicholas got drafted by the Miami Marlins, in baseball. So there's five guys right there. It was that team that grew up together, that played together, and everybody knew their role, and they contributed in their role in winning that state championship.
That doesn't hurt when you're all D1 talent either, though, Kenny. And a lot of times that hasn't always been the case, whether you were a McKinley team that made it to the state, just couldn't get the job done. We've seen time and time again where, yeah, it's great to have a team, but it's also great to have five starters that are D1 talent.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I would say this, though, to any team that's ever won a state title from Starr County, maybe Lehman from 1971 mm-hmm. being the like lone exception to this rule. But
well,
if you
Hoosiers.
But if you look at, yeah, I know, Coach Eddins, he had a Hoosiers-like group. But if you look at them from a standpoint of teams that have won, 1984 McKinley had a stud, a guy that went on to play in the NBA with Gary Grant.
Right.
You had the teams from the mid-2000s at McKinley that had some studs on them. You had Marcus Parker, who had a great career at Findlay. Todd Brown had a great career at Walsh. And Raymar Morgan was a stud at Michigan State for his 4 years. So, you know, if you're going to win state championships, much to Kenny's point, you're going to need, you know, a Kyle Young, a Logan Hill, a Kyle Nicholas. You're going to need glue guys that can hold that group together. That's, you know, if you look at the model for any championship team.
That's not my point. My only point is the fact that you have D1 talent on guys that weren't even basketball players. So when you have athletes, you got five athletes that are all D1 talent, no matter what sport they decided to further their careers with. It makes a huge difference. Those McKinley teams were no different than that. They had Robinson. They had guys that went and played football in college. But the thing is, the fact remains the same. When you're talking high school athletes, you're talking Division I talent. I don't care if you're a football player or a basketball player. You mentioned the Maslin team this year. You lose a guy like Ballard that goes down to Ohio State because he can go early. That's going to affect that team.
Yeah, well, he was averaging, 17-9 at the time he left. And they knew,
right?
Coach Hose knew he was going to leave early and enroll early at The Ohio
Huge.
State, and he did. And you're right, JT. You're talking about two kids that are 6'3 or taller, that are Division I athletes, even though it's not their main sport, and that affects it. But credit to Coach Hose for still being realizing, okay, I am going to lose those guys, so we'll be prepared for when they do leave, and here they are still playing, right, John?
Well, yeah, and I think that the biggest thing about that, too, when you look at losing guys like that, is you just have to figure out where you're going to take those roles and insert guys in, and to Coach Hose's credit, he does still have a very deep roster of guys that are all talented. Grant Hanum has been the kid that's really stepped up, and he may not be going to play Division I ball, but I think I saw on Twitter that he committed to go play Division III ball somewhere. So, you know, it may not come in the size and shape of a Jaden Ballard, but the kid's an athlete, and he knows how to get it done, and that's much to what your point was, JT, as well, that it takes that. But in order to win a state title, which, you know, I think there's really only one team maybe on the boys' side that could do that, and that's McKinley. You need one special kid, and they have that in Kobe Johnson.
Yep.
And much like the year that LaPierre Tolles took them on the run a couple years back, Kenny, will Kobe Johnson, as the tournament goes on, start to take over games and go for 25 to 30 a game? That becomes the question.
That's a great point, and we'll see if Coach V asks him to step up his game a little bit and be a little bit more selfish. Although, but Brent Walker's not bad down in the post, too, John.
Not at all.
They got the inside-outside game, too, which helps Coach V and the McKinley Bulldogs. So we will continue to keep you up to date on our coverage of high school boys and girls basketball here on the Kenny and JT Show, as well as on the John Bozica Show and Pam Cook in the mornings. I know we've got John doing our high school scoreboards now as part of our sports reports in the morning, so We've got you covered with all the information you need. And, of course, all the games either on the radio at 1480 WHBC or you can listen online when we stream the games at WHBCSports.com. We'll get a break in right now. We'll come back, JT. Let's revisit J.J. Watt. He's not a Cleveland Brown. He's not a Green Bay Packer. He's not a Buffalo Bill. If you haven't heard where he's going to play, we'll tell you next.